Welcome, Tiger fans, to Talking Tigers. This is a Win or Die Sports production. This is your host, Wesley Burris, my co-host, Taylor Griggs. He ought to be a little more active today, I think. We've got something for him to do. Week one is in the books, so I think Clemson pretty much did everything that we thought they would do. I'm sure that there were times in the game, and we'll go over this a little bit later, that there was some frustration in Death Valley and for the folks watching at home. But all in all, just an outstanding effort all the way around. 48-7 winners over the Furman Paladins. And up until I think there was like a minute and a half, 2 minutes left in the ball game is when Furman finally punched it in with a pass to score. And I think I predicted, am I right, that I didn't think Furman would score. I said if they did, they might find a way late to kick a field goal or something like that. So not to toot my own horn, but this game pretty much went the way I expected it to go. Clemson didn't cover the outrageous spread on this game of 48.5. I feel like they could have. I do feel like they went more, you know, more to the ground late in the game when it was well in hand. You know, getting into it from what I watched, because I had to go back and watch this game because I was watching the Gamecocks play beforehand, and I went back and watched a condensed version that pretty much showed you all the big plays, and I had flipped it here during commercial and whatnot. It seemed that every time I turned it there, Furman was getting nothing done, so the Clemson D-line, the front seven, did their job. No passing threat from the Paladins at all today. I think even if they would have tried to go to more of a passing attack, it wouldn't have worked out, and there would have been some bigger stats for the Clemson defensive line. That's just my take on it. I mistakenly said on last episode that I felt like they would be running a more of an I formation based off of the personnel groupings I had seen online. It was more of a two-back style shotgun, which they ran a lot of option off of, similar to what Coastal Carolina ran in Columbia as well. Probably a potent attack at their level, but when you're facing the skills that the Clemson Tigers possess defensively, it's just no bueno. It wasn't anything getting done in Death Valley the other day. The superior team laid on them the whole way. Could have absolutely run up the score even more than they did. I feel sure about that 100%. Think they could have scored 70 if they wanted to. Not saying they took it easy, but I am saying, you know, it was just no doubt when you watched any facet of this game past maybe the first 10 minutes or 7 minutes of the first quarter, who the better team was, and you knew who they were going in anyway. So that being said, let's do some recap here of the box score. I think that's how I'm going to start this out. We're going to go into the stats and all and tell you some things I saw that I think are absolutely positive for the Tigers. No negatives that I saw at all. I don't think anybody can really point to that. So just to run the box score down, at with 7:50 left in the first quarter, the Tigers get on the board. Amari Rogers with a 40-yard pass from Kelly Bryant. Greg Hugel was good on the kick. This Amari Rogers kid, I just want to go ahead and get it out there right now. I said on an earlier episode that he needed to really step up and be a go-to guy. Well, he was the playmaker, I feel, the highlight reel from this football game. Later in the game, I think it was sometime in the second quarter, he had an awesome punt return. It was electrifying, and he ended up getting caught right there by a last-ditch effort by, it looked like a linebacker or a tight end, pushed him out of bounds, and he would have gone to the house. But he was electric in this game. They couldn't really cover him. Pretty sure-handed from what I saw, and he seems to be the guy that I feel like is going to be the Tigers' biggest weapon in the passing game, and that remains to be seen. Maybe some of the other guys just weren't targeted as much, but I feel like he had the best showing on Saturday. T. Higgins is phenomenal as well. Renfro is a stalwart. He's going to be there. He's just a playmaker. He gets things done, and all these guys seem to block well as well from what I saw from the game. And I don't know. I think Bryant struggled a little early, but I think he came on a little late. They played both of the quarterbacks here the whole way, which I think was actually pretty smart because they didn't ask him to do too much, but you needed to get Lawrence out here and get him acclimated to the offense. I think going forward, he may end up being the guy, and we'll get into that a little bit later. So then they added a field goal with 2 minutes 45 left in the first quarter to go up 10-0 to end the first. As I said, kind of a little slow out the gate on offense. We've seen that going back to last season with Clemson, kind of a little slow start. Bryan is not the passer that I think all the Clemson fans want to see. I would have to agree with that. I don't think he's the guy that is going to go out there and sling the ball around 30, 35 times a game. That's not his style. I don't think that he's a bad quarterback at all. There are several teams in this country that would love to have him. His legs can get you out of a lot of bad plays and create some great plays for you also. And I just think that he was a little slow out of the gate. I thought the offensive line had a couple hiccups here and there very early on. They went on the first drive. They went for fourth down twice. Got it the first time. Didn't get it the second time. But then it just seemed like everything for the rest of the game was pretty much clicking. So the problems were there. There and there only. They opened up the second quarter, 9 minutes, 19 seconds left. They kicked a 49-yarder, which I think the announcers actually announced as a 50-yard field goal. I don't know what the official tally is there, but it was deep. And Hugel drilled it to go up 13-0. Then DeAndre Overton had a 6-yard pass from Trevor Lawrence with 2 minutes, 54 left in the second quarter to go up, or in the half, to go up 20-0. And then ETN added a 7-yard run right before the half was over, a minute left in the half there, go up 27-0 first half. I think the defense looked outstanding. They played their assignments well. Furman is a rushing team. They played the dive extremely well and just prevented Furman from getting the pitch to the outside and wrapped up, tackled well, didn't have a ton of sacks in the ball game, but ended up with a bunch of negative plays plays that right around 1 or 2 yards rushing, just didn't let Furman get anything going consistently. So the third quarter was again a little bit of problems on offense here and there. And with 5:26 left, Kelly Bryant, he's back in the game. He has a big run, 35 yards. They go up 34-0. And then with 8 seconds left in the third quarter, Justin Ross, the true freshman. This play was phenomenal because Lawrence threw the ball to him. It looked like it was going to be like a 2 or 3 yard pass. And how many guys were just in front? It seemed like everybody from Furman was in front of him.
Yep.
He just makes a couple little moves. Very nice play from him. This was all him on this play and a 15-yard touchdown. I'll call it a run, honestly, because he did all the work here. But the touchdown goes to Trevor Lawrence as well. Nice play. They go up 41-0. And then early in the fourth quarter, Braden Galloway takes a 9-yard pass from Trevor Lawrence on a little simple little dump down pass. He goes in untouched, touchdown, 48-0. And then, like I said, a very garbage touchdown with a minute 18 left. Ryan DeLuca, it was a 16-yard pass. He catches a 16-yard pass from Darren Granger. And they end the ball game 48-7. I felt like Furman had no answer for Clemson's defensive line, as most teams will not this season. They imposed their will throughout the game, pushed them around. It looked on several plays like Furman's linemen were just lost mentally, didn't know what to do. You know, looking to their coaches, it was they looked almost scared sometimes. I feel like they came out early and they really kind of bowed up and were playing kind of hard. But, you know, with this much talent across from you, and obviously Clemson is not going to give their best shot to Furman. I don't think there's any question about that. But they damn sure went out and played a complete football game. And even though there were some hiccups on the offense, nothing I think the Tiger fans need to worry about at all. 531 yards of total offense to Furman's 163. So I would think this game pretty much went exactly the way I thought. I think I called something like 48-0, 52-0, somewhere in there was what I called on the previous episode. Maybe I'm misremembering, but somewhere in there. So right around that range. Taylor, go ahead and throw some stats out at us, and I can wrap this Furman game up a little bit with some thoughts before we move into next week's big showdown in College Station.
Well, I'll do Furman first.
Go ahead and do Furman. Furman's
they have less stats.
Yeah, they had a lot less stats. They only threw the ball 5 times. Am I right about that?
Yeah. Well.
Well, the starting quarterback.
They only completed four passes.
Oh, they completed four.
Total.
How many did they attempt?
9.
Okay, 9.
Granger went 3 for 5.
Okay.
30 yards, 1 touchdown. Jamar Lincoln, 1 for 4, 16 yards.
He had a couple nice scrambles here and there, but really Clemson was in the backfield just disrupting every play. I told you when I was trying to watch it live, you know, when the Gamecocks would go to commercial or whatnot, I would flip it over, and it just seemed like every play was a nothing play, which I pretty much expected. But I did not really – that's just me lack of doing my research for this. I didn't know Furman was going to stick to the run as much as they did. And I don't know. It wasn't – I guess it wasn't as bad as what Kent State did. That was last year, year before last. I think they threw 2 passes against Clemson or something like that. It was – they just weren't even trying to win. Furman was trying to run their offense. It just wasn't working. Go ahead. What was that?
I have no idea.
All right, well, go ahead.
So they ended up like total 4 for 9, 46 yards, then a touchdown.
Yeah.
Rushing, Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
4 carries,
not
50
the
yards.
Deion Sanders,
yeah.
But a Deion Sanders.
Corey Watkins, 4 carries, 30 yards. Keelan Dirt, 7 carries, 15 yards.
Mm.
Darren Granger, the quarterback. 11 carries, 13 yards.
Oh, he had a bad day, did he not?
Yeah, and the rest of these just—it's not even
devoured at the line of scrimmage. Just
receiving,
that
Ryan DeLuca, 1 reception, 16 yards, 1 touchdown.
Was he their leading receiver?
Well, Thomas Gordon also had 1 reception for 16 yards.
Wow.
And then Deion Sanders had a reception for 7 yards, and DeJuan Bell 1 reception for 7 yards.
And that's it. So 4 completions.
Yes. They had 117 total rushing yards and no touchdowns.
Mm.
And 46 passing yards.
That's just,
1 touchdown.
That's just not going to get it done. I think I want to say that Clemson held them to 40-something yards in the first half is what I saw. I could be wrong about that. Hell, I could look that up. I could look that up right now, actually.
Well.
So, no, that's not on here.
Clemson passing stats.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence, 9 for 15, 137 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Didn't look to me like they asked him to do too much. He made a couple of really nice throws that I had showed to you earlier that I thought were tough throws. One, I think people could question. He threw it between two guys, ended up being a first down, but it was a laser beam. He's got a cannon. It looks like he's got a big arm. I really don't know what to think about him yet, but I do think he looks solid against Furman. I don't think you can make a definitive statement that he's – the guy, but he's definitely going to be the guy in the future at Clemson at some point. I don't know when. Go
Kelly
ahead.
Bryant, 10 for 16, 127 yards, 1 touchdown. Also had 44 rushing yards and a touchdown.
It really surprised me when I went back and watched this that they brought him back in later in the game. But I see what they were doing. This is still an ongoing competition. And I honestly believe, and we'll get into this a little bit more in depth in a second, that this is going to continue next week. So what do we have rushing-wise? Because we did have a spark from a true freshman here.
Lynn J. Dixon?
Yes.
6 carries, 89 yards.
Not a huge back. Had a big run. How long was that?
61 yards.
That was a nice run. And he showed some speed. He slowed down towards the end, but I think he was really worried what it looked like to me about covering that football. He had awareness of who was behind him, and he really wanted to cover that football because I thought he felt like the defender was going to come up and try to strip him from behind, and he kind of gassed out there at the end. But he did a good job of covering up the football, which I think is something that a lot of these guys wouldn't do in that situation. And I think he's trying to earn a spot on this football team. Now, he's 5'11", 175, I think, out of Butler, Georgia, true freshman. And I think the fact that they got him out there, they obviously see something in him. Hey, what better time to let a guy like that come out and make some plays against a team that you know you're going to beat? You've already got the game well in hand. Give him the rock. Let him see what he could do. Because this team is loaded with running backs. I mean, we've talked about that on previous episodes. I mean, ETN and Feaster, Choice, that's 3 really good running backs right there. So throwing him into the mix just makes him even stronger.
ETN had 11 carries for 63 yards and a touchdown.
He looked good to me.
Tavian Feaster, 24 yards on 3 carries.
Yeah, that's damn good. They didn't let him touch it much. But
Darren Rencher. Darian Rencher?
Yeah, Rencher was supposed to sort of kind of compete for that
2 carries,
second,
11
third
yards.
Level.
Amari Rodgers, 2 carries, 10 yards.
Rodgers, again, is just that's the playmaker here to me. That's what stands out in this game, and I'm sure most Tiger fans would agree.
Receiving, Amari Rodgers.
Yeah.
3 receptions, 44 yards, 1 touchdown.
Yeah, not tremendous. The big catch from Bryant was the majority of that. The bulk of that is a 40-yard catch.
Yep.
So that was the bulk of that. But I will say what he did to that defender there, he immediately got outside, beat him out of the gate, and just ran by him and then did a great job, like the announcer said, of not showing his hands and telegraphing when the ball would get there. Because a lot of times a defender can just he can watch the receiver's eyes, watch when he picks his hands up, and he just holds his hand out, you know, and that'll block the ball. He did a great job there. To me, looked like a veteran in this game, looked like he was hungry, looked like he wanted to really solidify himself as one of the top playmakers on this Tiger offense.
Cornell Powell, 1 reception, 42 yards. Darion Kendrick, 1 reception, 38 yards. T. Higgins, 3 receptions, 35 yards.
You're going to hear his name a lot more.
Braden Galloway, 3 receptions, 34 yards, and a touchdown.
Him as well.
Renfro, 3 catches, 24 yards. Travion Thompson, 2 catches, 22 yards. Justin Ross, 2 catches, 16 yards, 1 touchdown.
Right, just spreading it around.
DeAndre Overton, 2 receptions, 10 yards, 1 touchdown.
Yeah, spreading it around against a team that you know you're going to beat. It really looked to me like Clemson, they ran their stuff. I'm not going to say that they really kept everything in pocket, but I do think that they were definitely holding a little bit back for next week. You always see that with teams, and I don't think they really have to because they had to get Lawrence out there and get him acclimated to, you know, game speed. I think that's the main thing that they were doing here today.
So they totaled 254 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns and 277 passing yards with 4 touchdowns.
Incredible balance. I mean, again.
And just to mention defense.
Okay.
Christian Wilkins, 7 tackles, 1 sack.
Seemed like
and
he was
a tackle
in backfield
for loss.
All day. Yeah. I mean, he was shedding blocks.
So
Farrell had a sack. I don't know if they credited Lawrence with a sack. You said Wilkins had 1.
Yeah.
They had 3 as a team. And the starter stayed out there for a while, but there was a reason for that. This game did not – I don't think that a lot of the fans that were there expected it to go the way that it was going. I mean, 27-0 and a half. Honestly, if I am a Clemson fan, I would want the second team D in there in the second half because I don't feel like Furman was going to be able to do a whole lot against them either. But I see keeping Bryant and Lawrence in there because Bryant still has to improve a little bit as a passer. You want to see more as a Tiger fan from him in the passing game. And I think, obviously, Trevor Lawrence, after his performance the Saturday, you know, it does nothing but earn him more grace with the fans. They want to see him on the field. They think he's the guy, and rightfully so, because I think he looked pretty darn good. He took a sack one time that I told you was not his fault. The right tackle just got whipped by the defensive end. He ate the football. That's something that, as a fan, you want to see. You don't want to see him just sling it up in the air right there. You know, a lot of us have seen that happen before. You don't want that. You want him. Sometimes you got to eat the sack, but it did look like a nasty hit. But he ended up being all right. He's a big kid. I think he's got nothing but huge upside here. He's got a cannon. He slings the ball pretty well. Doesn't throw off his back foot from what I saw today. Didn't face too much pressure. We'll really see this next coming week, which we're about to get into, what they're going to face. And we're going to give you our predictions going forward there. I think just to wrap this game up, this is just what the doctor ordered, really. Nobody's banged up. Nothing significant injury-wise. And you went out there, you imposed your will, you beat the hell out of a team that you were supposed to beat the hell out of. Got to feel good about that. I know that most fans sitting there in Death Valley and watching at home wanted to pitch the shutout. Could have. You know, you gave up a little garbage touchdown there at the end. It is what it is. I mean, but 48-7, got to feel happy about that. Nothing negative to say. I don't think there's any negatives in this game. Clemson got off to a slower start than they wanted to, I'm sure. I'm sure Dabo and company will address that this week. There's going to be a lot more serious tone to this next week's game than there was this one. And I think Clemson has an excellent coaching staff. They've got excellent talent across the board. And they're going to be ready to go to College Station and get things done. So, big win against Furman, even though, you know, like I said, repeating myself again, there were some hiccups here and there. Nothing to be negative about, though, in my opinion. And that's saying something. So, Taylor, let's move into next week. And what we're going to do first, I guess, is we can say Clemson an early – this is early now. I don't know if this is official, but I'm seeing 13.5-point road favorite over the Aggies of A&M. Your initial thoughts on that? You told me you thought this was a 17-point game, right?
17 points.
And I asked you what kind of 17, and that kind of – You didn't really understand what I was saying. There is a difference in 17.
No. You lose
45-28 and a team pulling away late, that's a different 17 than a 17-0. If you can't see that, then I don't know what you're saying. But you think this is a 17-point game. You think the Tigers take care of business, don't have many problems at all. Is that what you're saying?
No, I think there'll be some.
So it's close, they pull away late. But they're 17 points better in your mind. So you would bet Clemson all day.
Yes.
I don't have a problem with that because I think the line being under 2 touchdowns, I think they have the talent level to beat A&M by more than 2 touchdowns. I have seen A&M do some really weird things the last couple years. I think they have an infinitely better head coach in Jimbo Fisher than Kevin Sumlin was. I mean, Sumlin almost lost to BYU the other night. at Arizona. I don't think I'm not going to say he was incompetent.
What? They did lose.
Oh, they did lose. Did they? Yeah. Look that up real quick because I don't want to be wrong. I mean, the hell, that would make me laugh because I don't think Sumlin was a very good coach. He had the Gamecocks number the last several years, but I just don't think with all the talent that they can recruit at A&M.
28-23.
Oh, okay. So that's not going to sit well with the Wildcats fans, I don't think. BYU's not a bad team, but they were 12-point favorites in that game, yeah. I believe. That's not good. So A&M, they took care of business. Who the hell did they play? Northwestern State. Where are they at? In Louisiana? I don't know. 59-7 was your final score there. I'm sure this was exciting to watch. They had 758 yards of offense on Northwestern State, and I'm not going to take anything away from that, honestly, because I know Furman's a way better team than they are. So,
yep, Louisiana.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking earlier. I thought I'd heard that before. So, here's some stats from A&M just to throw these out at you, and then we'll get into what we think is going to happen in this game. Kellen Mond was 17 of 25 for 184 yards. He had two touchdowns, no picks. He added a rushing touchdown, but I think he was, six rushes for 8 yards or something. Yeah. Like that. It wasn't anything impressive. And he can run the football a little bit. I guess that's why they gave him the nod here. Starkel, the backup, actually had more passing yards last season and had a better touchdown-to-interception ratio. He had 14 touchdowns last year and 6 picks. He went 5 of 8 Saturday for 63 yards and 1 touchdown, no picks. They threw for 255 yards total. They did have somebody else throw a pass, but we didn't list that. Rushing, this is where they had a big, big, big day. 503 yards. Leading rusher was Travion Williams, 20 carries for 240 yards. That's a whopping 12 yards a carry. That's insane. 3 touchdowns, 73-yard touchdown he had. That was his long rush. On the weekend, Kwame Etwi, I'm guessing that's how you pronounce this, 8 rushes, 83 yards, 1 touchdown. He had 10, over 10 a carry. Vernon Jackson, 7 rushes, 49 yards. That's 7 yards a carry, guys. He did lose a fumble, though. I think that was their only turnover, I believe. And Jashawn Corbin had 8 rushes for 49 yards. So they got it done on the ground. They came out here and imposed their will. They do have a pretty decent offensive line. Typically, they have a ton of skill players. I think Jimbo inherited a lot of talent here. I won't say he has more talent than he had in Tallahassee by any means, but a wealth of skill players and running backs that I just don't think he knows who to play yet. And I don't think this game really – I guess this game showed you Travion Williams is probably your stud tailback, I would assume. And we'll move into receiving where they didn't really – they really distributed the ball similarly to Clemson. Didn't have anybody really stand out too much. Jamon Osmond, 6 catches for 81 yards. Tight end Jay Sternberger, who's a transfer, he had 5 catches, 56 yards. He had 2 touchdowns. Going to be a big part of this offense because Jimbo likes the tight end. Cameron Buckley, 3 catches for 44 yards. Kendrick Rogers had 2 for 33 yards. And Jalen Preston had 1 for 14 yards. And the reason we mentioned him is because he did have a touchdown. So there were your 3 touchdowns receiving there. Defensively, they gave up 251 yards against Northwestern State. 230 in the air, only 21 on the ground. And the leading rusher for Northwestern State was their quarterback. He only had 7 yards. Wow. So I don't think really based off those stats that we learned anything about A&M. And the reason I say that, Furman is a lot better football team than Northwestern State in my mind. Furman is a team that is typically near the top or – you know, makes the playoffs in the FCS level. They compete with teams that do pull upsets from time to time, even though they haven't done that in quite a long time, facing bigger competition. But Clemson and Furman also have sort of a rivalry. It used to be a rivalry back in the day, not really so much now in the modern day, but teams that used to play each other all the time. So, you know, it makes sense for Clemson to play Furman. I think it's a good thing. I know that some people want to get negative when you play these games. They're trashing Clemson for playing Furman. They're trashing Carolina for playing Coastal. They really get on Bama for playing some lesser teams. But when you play in these leagues like the ACC and the SEC, look, man, the competition week to week is strong enough to where you can step out and play a cupcake every once in a while, and there's nothing wrong with that. I wouldn't even call Furman a cupcake. I would call Northwestern State a cupcake. So a big matchup this week in College Station. If I'm not mistaken, the last time Clemson went there, they had a tough time. This is eons ago. This is Tommy Bowden's coaching Clemson, and who the hell was coaching A&M then? Was it Franchione? I'm trying to remember if he was the guy that was there at the time. He wasn't there long. Hell, I don't even remember. It doesn't matter because these are completely different football teams, completely different coaching staffs, and completely different mindsets and talent levels, because I think A&M, from top to bottom, is very, very talented. They're probably right to me in my mind. They probably rank anywhere at the end of the year. They'll be like maybe 20th to 35th or so. So maybe an outlier. I don't think people expect too much out of them this year. You think Clemson wins by 17. I think what Clemson can do here, the weird thing is, do they start Kelly Bryant, which I would think is a smart thing. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I imagine he's starting.
Now, would you agree with that with me? Because he's got big road games under his belt. He's got the most experience. I think Lawrence is going to play a good bit, though. Wouldn't you agree?
I think if he slips up.
Honestly, here's what I think. In a game like this, and I know we said this on a previous episode, I would like to see Bryant start if I'm a Clemson fan because of the experience. He knows the offense. He's got wheels. He can get you out of a bad play. He doesn't make a ton of mistakes. He does need to cut down on some that he had last year, which kept some teams in games from time to time. He's cut down on the picks. I saw a couple of errant throws on Saturday. Nothing major. Like I was telling you, he seems to miss, and when he misses, it's low. Usually if you miss low, guys can't pick it off, you know, versus missing high, it gets batted up. I know that's weird to even talk about, but that's the way I look at it. Maybe I'm wrong. But with Bryant, I feel like you go out there with him, you have his wheels at your disposal. He's smart. Like I said, he knows the offense. He can get you in and out of a good or bad play. And not only that, if he tends to struggle, I feel like Lawrence can jump right in there. And with the arm that he has, Clemson's O-line is pretty darn good, man. They're good. And I think they'll give him time. I think you could mix it up. And later in the season, going forward from here, barring any injury, let's say you get through the A&M game with no injury, I would think that maybe you could continue to play both of them all year because Bryant could kind of be your guy that you bring in to mix it up when you want to run against a team. When you find a team that really struggles against a running quarterback, you could throw him out there and you could still run all your old plays with him, right? Because he's been running the offense for a couple years. I do think the offense would be more dynamic and wide open with Lawrence back there, even with the little bit that I've seen, because I do think he has that much of a better arm. I don't know what your thoughts on that are, because – I know you didn't really watch as much of the game as I did, but just from me watching what I saw, I feel like Lawrence can make all the throws. They didn't ask a ton of him Saturday and didn't need to. This Saturday, they're going to need more from both of them. I just think defensively, Clemson is so good. A&M's O-line is decent. They're usually pretty darn good. I would think this year it's going to be pretty good. I think they got three starters back, seven on each side of the ball going into the season. But, you know, I guess A&M's strength lies is the fact that they do have a lot of running backs and wide receivers that can make plays. A&M's weakness to me is the quarterback position because I don't really think either one of these guys are that good. And I don't think either one of these guys have faced a D-line quite this ferocious. You know, maybe you could say Auburn's line last year was similar. I'd have to go back and look what the hell even happened in that game because that gets kind of interesting actually because I think that's – basically like the closest team to Clemson that they have played because you could say Bama, but Bama kind of runs a different style of defense. It's not what you're looking at with Clemson where you're looking at the four down linemen all the time and they don't have to blitz and whatnot and they can still get pressure on you. So last season – where the hell is this here? Yeah, last year – yeah, Auburn beat A&M by 15 points at A&M 42-27. Now, Auburn lost to Clemson last year, so – I kind of see where everybody's looking at lines at this point in the year. I didn't have a good week gambling last week, but I didn't have a bad week either. So I don't think anybody's got it quite figured out, quite nailed down yet. I think 13.5, it's strange for me to see the line be that high. It honestly is. But I do think that Clemson can win by 14. You obviously do because you said they'd win by 17 or more. So I think what you look for in this game is Clemson needs to – just be Clemson, you know, control the line of scrimmage, limit the turnovers. And I think what happens there is you're going to get turnovers from A&M. That's the way I feel. I think Mond, Starkel, whoever ends up at quarterback, Clemson probably hurts one of them in my mind. bangs one up, gets a couple turnovers early. I think if Clemson can get out to a 10-0, 14-0 lead, I think this game, I'm not going to say it's over at that point. I'm going to think it's going to be all Clemson from there forward. I really do believe that. Now, I think if A&M can go out there and punch Clemson in the mouth, I could see a back-and-forth type of game, and that's kind of the way I've been leaning the last few weeks, and I haven't seen A&M play in person. In person, obviously I haven't, but I haven't personally watched them play, so I don't know. I didn't even go and look at the highlights because I feel like there's just nothing to be learned from that football game. You know, Furman sends players to the NFL from time to time. I don't know what the hell Northwestern State even really is. So I think if Clemson can go and get a nice ground game going, which, hey, A&M's strength is their D-line as well, their front seven. They got two linebackers back that are starters, good ball players. One had 77 tackles last year. I think one led or tied for the lead in the SEC in tackles last season at linebacker. You have a couple good defensive ends. One's a guy that they feel like has just a lot of upside. One's a guy that was all over everybody's radar last season. Solid defensive tackle, another new guy. So breaking in two new guys on the defensive line, one with some experience, the other one with none, really. I do think that's a strength of theirs, though, is the front seven. So I think Clemson, I'm not going to say they struggle in the run game, but I think that's what A&M is hoping to do, is to cause Clemson to struggle in the run game and force Bryant to throw the ball. Could end up biting them in the ass, though, if they bring Trevor Lawrence out or if Bryant can get it going. Who knows? And I think, honestly, it's the quarterbacks at Clemson that are going to be the difference in this game, because I think that even though Lawrence is a little bit inexperienced, I think they're better at quarterback position than A&M. I think defensively Clemson is better than A&M at every level. I think you can sort of say that A&M has a nice front seven. They're not Clemson's front seven, though. They're definitely not Clemson's front four, and that makes it easy for Clemson to play and make plays in the back end when you just have that talent up front. I'm going to say 34-17 Tigers. That's what I'm going to call. What's that sound like to you? 31-17, 34-17. That's about where I'm at. But I'm going to say 34-17, 34-20, somewhere in that range. So they cover in my mind. What's your prediction?
17 points.
It's just 17 points.
Yeah.
However it happens.
However they get it.
Well, thanks for that information there. Well, that's going to probably do it for this episode. I would like to have a little bit more information for you, but I think that's about all I can give you. I think next week's game will be a lot more interesting. There'll be a lot more talking points because it is a big-time competition. This is College Game Day next week, by the way. Isn't it? Isn't one of them what we saw the other night?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was speaking and then didn't even really know or second-guess myself for a second there, but I thought I had seen it was College Game Day. It's a big-time game. Jimbo knows the Tigers, so anything is possible. It is a loud place to play, but I think if the Tigers bring their A game and the A&M does not, which is what I expect, that's the final score I predict, like 34-17, 34-20 range. I just don't think A&M has enough firepower on offense to overcome the Clemson defense. And, hell, I do think they have enough to put points on the board. But would it surprise you? Let me ask this before we get wrap up here. Would it surprise you to be 28-7, 28-6? Would that surprise you?
No.
It wouldn't really me either, because I really don't know what A&M has on offense to counteract this defensive line. Because, obviously, Jimbo's going more to a pro-style approach, and I mentioned this before we started recording, that I thought Sumlin's style of offense, spreading it out and throwing the little short passes, that could actually hurt Clemson a lot more, because that negates the pass rush. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If the quarterback's getting rid of the ball quickly, that takes your pass rush just completely out of the game. So I don't think Jimbo runs that. So if you're a Clemson fan, watch some old FSU tape, because that's probably what you're going to see scheme-wise, I would assume. And they have a good staff there, and they have a lot of talent. I expect it to be close for a little while and then Clemson to pull away at the end. That's kind of the way I see it happening, because I expect A&M to turn the ball over, and I do not expect Clemson to turn the ball over. I think the Tigers win this one going away late. So that's going to do it for this week's episode of Talking Tigers. Same format next week. We're going to recap the A&M game and give you a prediction for Georgia Southern. That part of the episode probably won't be too long. Probably go a little bit more in-depth in this game and what I saw, because I will for sure be watching this And I can't wait. And we'll see you next week.